Brother Don couldn't find it. He didn't know how to spell it. First John chapter 4, verse 10. First John chapter 4, verse 10. Found it, Don?
Yeah, I got it.
All right. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son. That's Jesus now. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Sent His Son to be the propitiation. There it is, right there. For our sins. Now, in this verse we have this very important Bible word. Some people can't pronounce. Some can't find even with a concordance. And honestly, too few people know what it means. But when you leave this building tonight, I want you to know what it is, what it means, and how it affects every one of us. Propitiation. While I'm at it, I might as well give you the Greek word for it. It's almost as bad as propitiation. Hilasterion. H-I-L-E-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. Hilasterion. Our Bible translators, when they translated our New Testament into Greek, from Greek into English, they translated that word hilasterion to propitiation. They might as well have left it there for all it means to us. It's a big word. So we go to Webster. What does it mean? Webster's definition, and I like this because, well, I've got an old Webster's dictionary, and I'll tell you, it gives you the real meaning of some of these, because today in our society there are certain words and things that are prohibited, you know, they don't want you to say them anymore. And this is probably one of them. I didn't look this up in a modern dictionary, but an old Webster's dictionary. And he gives the definition of this word propitiation as atoning sacrifice. Atoning sacrifice. We think of the Old Testament. We think of a lamb or a bullock, an animal that was taken and killed in the place of a sinful human being. The innocent animal was slain. Its blood was shed. It was offered as a sacrifice to God, and its blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat to make atonement. And we'll talk about atonement too in our message tonight. But propitiation means atoning sacrifice. And Webster goes on and says, the self-sacrifice and death of Jesus, viewed as appeasing divine justice and effecting reconciliation between God and man. That atoning sacrifice, which is Jesus, made reconciliation between God and man. It's how we are made friendly again with God. To propitiate means to appease and render favorable. Now, this word appears three times in your Bible. It appears in Romans chapter 3. I want to read verses 25 and 26. You'll notice in all three of these instances that it refers to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as our propitiation, our atoning sacrifice. Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth. This is something that God has done. God hath set forth, and inferred in this, the whom there is Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, an atoning sacrifice, through faith in his blood. It takes faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The other one is in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And he here is Jesus, and he is the propitiation for our sins. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So this propitiation is a big word. It covers, takes in the whole world. That word propitiation is not found in the Old Testament. But that Greek word, hilasterion, is found in the Septuagint version of the Scriptures. Now, that Septuagint version was that translation of the Old Testament that was made by some Jewish scholars in Egypt about 170 years before Christ. They took the Hebrew Old Testament and translated it into Greek. And when they translated it into Greek, they use that word, hilasterion. It's a Greek word, and refers to the mercy seat in the Old Testament tabernacle. The mercy seat. Now, in our New Testament, that Greek word, hilasterion, which is translated propitiation in these three scriptures that we've read, is found once more, but it is not translated propitiation. It's found in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 5. And there it is translated mercy seat. It isn't translated propitiation. It's translated mercy seat. And when you read it, I think you'll understand why. Because in all three of these other references, it speaks of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as being the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice. But in Hebrews 9:5, let me read you the scripture. It says, and over it, and the it that it's talking about there is the Ark of the Covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the hilasterion, the mercy seat. So if we can understand mercy seat, then we can understand propitiation. Because the mercy seat, as we go back into the Old Testament, to the tabernacle in the wilderness, and remember the pattern for that tabernacle was given to Moses on Mount Sinai by God himself. And then he came down from the mount, and they built it according to the pattern that God had given them. And that mercy seat was that solid gold lid or covering to that chest or box called the Ark of the Covenant that held the two tables of stone on which the finger of God had written the Ten Commandments, a golden pot containing manna, that heavenly food that sustained the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness, and Aaron's rod that budded and bore almonds. Those were the objects in this. And the gold covering for this, the lid for the top of this box, was the mercy seat. And it was on this mercy seat between the cherubim that were there of gold looking down on this. It was on this mercy seat that it became the place of propitiation when the sacrificial blood was sprinkled once a year on that mercy seat by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. And when it was sprinkled with this atoning blood, or the blood that made atonement, covered sin, it was transformed from a throne of judgment to a throne of mercy, because it covered sins, and God could now have mercy on sinners because their sins were covered by the atoning blood. Now, the word propitiation in the English may leave some people with the idea of a sacrifice that is appeasing or placating the anger of Almighty God. And that's not it at all. God loves sinners. God hates sin.
That's it.
God is angry with sinners because they sin. He loves the sinners, but he doesn't like the sin that they're involved in. What they are, what they do, and he wants them to be cleansed. And so the textual concept of this word propitiation means that God, because of his great love for mankind, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so great is his love that God, in his mercy and grace, initiated a plan by which people could be reconciled to him, made friendly again with him, brought back onto good terms. That's what reconcile means, to cause to be friendly again, to bring back to harmony. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." Now that's talking about Jesus when he was made flesh and dwelt among us. "It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." Why? "That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's like there in 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God's Son is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, the mercy seat where reconciliation is made. Christ is that. We are reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, our atoning sacrifice. Today, sinners have a mercy seat in the blood-sprinkled body of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross as an atonement to make complete satisfaction for our sins. Atonement. The word atonement means, and again, this is Webster's definition, the redeeming effect of Christ's incarnation, sufferings, and death. In other words, that's what came out of Christ coming to this earth and suffering and bleeding and dying on the cross. Reconciliation. Reconciliation between God and man through Christ. So the bottom line is this: propitiation is the atoning sacrifice that satisfies the righteous standards of a just and holy God. Something that we could not do. Something that has to be done for us. But that makes it possible. For the sin that stands between man and God, that separates him, to be removed and taken away. And this was accomplished by the substitutionary death of Christ on the cross of Calvary, when he took our place. He was made to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He died for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, that we might be reconciled with God. It was his shed blood that satisfied the demands of the just and holy God for the judgment of sin. All of the animals that were sacrificed in the Old Testament, they covered sin, but they did not take it away. Sin was not taken away until Jesus came. Remember what John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And we talked this morning about what Dr. Dixon said over 100 years ago about our sins, how they've been removed from us, blotted out, taken away, wiped out. Now, Jesus' death for sin, then, made it possible for God, through Christ, to declare us righteous. Because in ourselves, we're not righteous. We know that. Our righteousness comes from Him. Our righteousness, our own personal righteousness, is as filthy rags in the sight of God. But Jesus comes and He clothes us with a covering of His righteousness, which is imputed to us, so that as we stand before that just and holy God, we stand justified just as though we had never sinned, because we stand there clothed in the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us. Now, consider the effect of this propitiation. It's universal. We read there in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, and He is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the entire world. There are about 7 billion people on the face of this earth today, and every single solitary one of them are sinners. And every day there are people that die, and there are new sinners being born. Every day it changes. And this has been going on for now to 6,000 years. But the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ covers all sins of the whole world. It's sufficient for everybody. If the 7 billion people on the face of this earth right now were to cry out to God for mercy and come to Him through Jesus Christ, 7 billion people would be saved. But the atonement of Christ for sin is only effectual, maybe that's the word, to those who willingly receive it. It's something that has to be received. It is God's gift to mankind, but a gift has to be received, or it's not a gift. Has to be appropriated, as the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. As many as received Him. Now, when was this propitiation made? It was made yonder when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. But the effect of His propitiation, His atoning sacrifice, reached back into time and erased and blotted out and took away and removed and eliminated all of those past sins. But it also reached forward into time, into the future. And His propitiation, His atoning sacrifice, made atonement for all of the sins that are in the future, past, present, and future, the sins of the whole world. Now, let's learn something. People today do not have to come to God continually and beg God for forgiveness for their sins. Think about it. God once and for all accepted the propitiation that Jesus made for our sins on the cross through the shedding of his atoning blood. All we have to do to be reconciled to God is to accept, receive, rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. I like the way Paul summed it up. This is in Romans 3 there, that verse that we read. Beginning in verse 23, he said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely." Justified, just as if I had never sinned. Justified freely. It didn't cost me anything. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we are justified freely by his grace, his unmerited favor, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, not in anybody else. Not in anything that we can do, not in any other person, but only in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, an atoning sacrifice, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So, we've been reconciled to God. And right now, this very moment, any sinner anywhere who will recognize and acknowledge his sinful condition can turn from his sin and come believing to the mercy seat of God through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and by God's grace he will be saved and will be declared righteous
forever.
Amen. No longer is the mercy seat opened only once a year, like it was in the Old Testament days. No longer do we need an earthly priest to intercede with God on our behalf. No longer must animal sacrifices be made and their blood shed for us. Think about it. The veil of the temple, when Jesus died on the cross, was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, making the way into the holiest available to all mankind. And you read all the way from there to the book of Revelation, and you'll never find a place where it says the priest went in there the next day and sewed it back together. That rent veil remains rent. And now we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. 24/7. My, what a privilege we have. And we can extend that invitation to everybody else. You can't take the gospel message to the wrong address. You can't witness to the wrong person. Be reconciled to God. Jesus, while he was here, said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." He's still the door. And I'll tell you something else. That door is an open door. It's open to anyone and everyone who will enter it by faith. Over in Revelation, you read, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. And we can come in the presence of God. God's good to us, isn't he? Propitiation. Now you know, Brother Don, where it is in the Bible. And Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And we meet him at the mercy seat, and we're reconciled to God by his blood. Amen. The Lamb of God has taken away the sins of the world. And we know that. A lot of people in the world don't. They need to be told.